Okay, hello. You don't see my screen right now. Okay. That's a good one. Yeah, that will be best. Let's go this way. So I'm Cedric, Jimmy, it's me, and I'm graphic designer, and I'm working in a school where we teach only free graphic software. Okay, LGM past year was out of our place, and I'm happy to be there this year. And as a student and as a graphic designer, I always wish to improve the tools. And what I like is when a student don't say, "Hey, this is really crappy, this workflow, etc." And we have some use case sometimes we want to avoid. And what I'll show today is some kind of results about something we improved several weeks ago, only 7 weeks ago. It's a really new project. And that we have to deal with problems when we send files to print shops, mainly. Okay, so it's how we could avoid having problems. So, okay. Doesn't maybe have focus. Ooh, nice. It will be better, yeah. So, everybody knows the PDF because it's the subject I will show, though it's a portable format created a long time ago, okay? And it was somewhat made by Adobe at the beginning, okay? And it became an ISO in 2008. And we are now at the PDF 2 since a few years. It doesn't change many things for printing because we are not at the time when PDF 2 and other subtypes will be used in print shops, but we are still mainly on PDF X4, which is the, one of the more subtypes we'll talk about. Yeah. And what you can store in PDF mainly is everything. Okay, so Inscribers, for example, or Inkscape, a software we use. We will mainly have text, pictures, and drawings, but we could also add videos, 3D interactions with forms and JS. So there are games made with PDFs, for example. And many other features like metadata. We have talk today about Factorix, which is a new specification for beers in Europe. You know, that it's based on PDF. So there are many things we can do with PDF, which is a problem somewhat because PDF is made to be some universal format. Everybody will use it in every. Domain, okay, but in fact there are many needs that are different. Printers don't use PDF the same way that architect will use or any other kind of jobs, you know. So, for example, when you want to print, we have color management, we have imposition, we have some constraint about image resolution to keep the quality of the bitmaps, for example. We don't have to deal with JavaScript in general because we may not use changing pages. Okay, it could be difficult. And passwords on the other PDF capacities will not be used too. So we have specific needs, and in fact, PDF is not always portable as it should be. Yeah. So that's our problems. So in printing companies, we use the PDFX, which is one, okay, with some particular things. Well, it's a small specification, it's about 20, 30 pages. Yeah, so it changes PDF main specification, which is quite large. And we don't use PDF-A, which is much for archive, for example. And the other we don't use too. So portability is in the context. You know, people that use in the same domain, we use the same kind of PDF. Okay. And we have to deal with some special. We have already spoke about color management. We have font management too. Will they be vectorized? Will there be TrueType, OpenType, or any kinds of fonts? These are problems because OpenType, for example, is not allowed in every kind of PDFX, for example. We have bleed. We have. We may have different page size in a document. So how do we deal with it when we print, etc. So many special work we can do on document. So the problem is, as a graphic designer, how can we do that? How can we be sure it will be correctly stored in the document? Okay. So this is an overview of the different flavors we have in PDFX. On the left, it's the oldest one, okay? And on the right, it's the most current. And we mainly use actually PDFX 4, yeah. As you can see here, there are many features that we don't use in every kind of subtypes. Okay. That's a difficult part we have. Even in describers or in dedicated software like that. Okay. So here's an example. When you want to send a file to a print shop, okay, it's here it's a pixel printing. It's an Italian printer. Okay. So you always get instructions on the website. And those instructions just tell you, this file must contain this or must contain this. For example, it's 2 millimeter bleed. There must be a special color for this or for that, etc. There must be layers or no layers. Or there must be layers with that name exactly, exactly. So you have many instructions to use. Okay. And this is a use case from a student. Yeah, she sent the file to the print shop, and the print shop said, no, it doesn't work. Your file is not good. This is the message here in red, okay, in this place. It's in French, I'm sorry. So there was a problem with the uploading and base testing of the file, okay, because it's the automated process. So we take contact with the company and say, okay, what's the problem? I don't know what's the problem. So we chat. And here it's quick. Maybe 20 minutes after we had the answer, but we had other cases. It took a week to get an answer from a print shop. So it's really, it's impossible. We have to do a flyer for an event, let's say a demographics meeting. And 2 weeks earlier, you send the A5, and the print shops get a problem, and you get the answer maybe 3-4 days later. It's too late to get the flyer at the right time. So it's impossible. You cannot be late. So hopefully, this time it was really quick. And it happens that when you have to deal with people, when they see you don't use InDesign, to say first, hey, that's your software. Your software is not good. It doesn't give the right data, so your PDF is not good because you're using the bad software. But when you scratch it down, they can test in other software, for example, Acrobat, and they say, finally, your file is good. So your file has this spot color, your file has this layer and etc. So everything is good. So I don't know why it doesn't work finally, but your PDF was good. But it took a long time. And you have to convince them that they must do the job manually to control manually the files, which they don't want to do, of course. So this time, there was not a problem. But it may. So How can we be sure that the file we will send will be a correct PDF? That's very difficult, of course. We should be confident with the exporting system of the file, but it's not always the case, because when you will export PDF, for example, you will say, oh, I will export PDF X4. If you look at, for example, a viewer, or maybe I can show you a file eventually. This file, for example, it's a postcard given by a website, Abracadabra PDF. Okay, it's an example of PDF 4. They give it as is. Okay, and when you're looking at the property, yeah, tech, of course, what you get? Ah, we are lucky. It's written PDF 4. But usually, if you describe us, for example, it will be written 1.6, PDF 1.6. So the data you get is dependent of how the software will put the data inside. So, of course, it must be normally what the specification claims, but it's not always the case. So another example is that Scribus, for example, has a prefile verifier, which is very good. It's a functionality you can have here when we want to check your PDF up. So it's just browse your file and just give you a lot of message conforming to the PDF format you may choose. Okay. The problem with it is that it checks the layout. It doesn't check the PDF. So you are checking what you are in the file. But maybe when it will be saved, the result will be different. Okay. So this is really, really good. But this is not enough for our use case, because the use case, the print shop, don't like the PDF. Not the software don't like the PDF. Okay. So, and in some cases, for example, this is a patch I applied for Scribus, which can do PDFX 1A, the oldest one, which cannot accept object with transparencies. We have this message here. There should not be object with transparencies. But in fact, if I export the PDF, this object will be there, and it will have this transparency anyway. So Scribus doesn't export the PDF file as it claims it exports. Great. It just says, hey, this is a PDF X1. But this PDF X1 is not really compliant to the specification. Okay. So this is a difficulty we have to deal with. Okay, and that's why we need something this in between. It's a third-party software between the production software here and between the print shops. And they usually will test the file with Acrobat or Pitstop in Focus. And we need something, okay, so we can produce the PDF file, analyze the PDF file, so change things if we need, or send the file after if we are sure the PDF is okay. So that's what I've been working these last weeks, so that eventually we can be sure when we give the PDF, it matches the need of the print shops. So what do we have actually? We have some verifier, that's Droid, for example. We have Vera PDF, with a GPL file, so we're good. We have PDF box, which is Apache. We have XPDF and many others. But most of them just test over standard PDF, not PDFX. And when we are this more specific, they often do PDFA, which is not the one we use in printing. So actually, there's I didn't find any verifier that test for PDFX files. So we have to do that. So, and we have to build our own tools. So there are some nice tools we can use. For example, this debugger from PDFBox, or this RUPS, which is an iText subtool. You can analyze the PDF with these tools to match, to search for many properties, and just check if the right place has the right value. This is very interesting to analyze the PDF. This is a result we can get, for example, in the debugger. Yeah. And after that, you have to pass the tool and search for the information you need. So there are many libraries that can read a PDF. Okay. I decided to check here for some of them. The CPDF is really interesting because it is can be used as a command line, or it can be used as a Python module. And it really gives the main information we need. You have, for example, output in JSON, so we can grab on the data, okay? Or maybe with GQ. And you can check, for example, if the file has spot colors, the file has missing font, if the file has layers, or many kind of information like that. The trouble with CPDF is that you can go very far in the analysis of your files, because it's good for presets, you know, but not anymore. But you have PMU PDF, which is made by Artifex, the same company as GoScript, okay? Or PyPDF, which, for example, used in PDF Arranger, which is a nice PDF merger. It's good tools we can use. So, example we can do here for if we could use. Does it work? No, I cannot copy the. So if I am here in my file, so I have my, you see, I have put CPDF in a bash script to analyze many data at the same time, okay? So if I just bash my CPDF file, and I give the file an option, okay. I could grab, as I say, for example, for a subformat, which is data that search for the types PDF, or subtypes, for example. So it doesn't fail anything here. And if I search for subtypes, does it find it? No, doesn't find anything. This file here doesn't have a PDF X subtype. So I cannot claim this is a PDFX file. So if I send it to the print shop, it won't be good. Okay. So this is something it's interesting for me. I can check for specialized information, the PDF, and just verify it is good. But that is not enough, because we should need to test much more information. Okay, so I decided that CPDF was not good enough, so I made a Python set of scripts that could do much more. And I'll show you how to use it now. Yep. So this is Python. OK, I could make it executable, but yep. Donc, un PDF. QA, so I can choose the library I may use to analyze the PDF file, because we can have different output when you choose different library. So I would choose PMU because actually it's the only one that is working, but I could use Pyke too, as I mentioned before. So I can say, for example, the file I will use, not this one, okay. And I get information if I choose, for example, does it match PDFX4? And it just make me a report, okay, to show in fact what's good or what's not good. If everything is good. So that's mainly what it does, okay? We have a set of class working, we can use the command line only, there's no GUI for this, but could be eventually a good thing. And I can check for those subsets of information, and that's all. So I don't know if there are any questions about it. Thanks for listening. You can check here on GitLab if you want. Have some tests and use it.